World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good Friday morning, good day after Thanksgiving. Can you believe this? I picked up a cold from my grandson. I mean, he's like 16 months. How can that possibly be? He had that snot running down his nose the other day. He was over the house jumping on Grampy's, jumping on my lap and rubbing his face up against me. We had a grand old time, but I picked up a cold from him. So, you know, my wife gave me, in the middle of the night last night, I was griping about my cough, my cold. She gave me some of those essential oils. I feel like I'm a millennial, but I put some of this essential oil on, and man, my cold started to break. It's crazy. Hey, welcome this morning. Jared, I forgot to send you something. I'm going to shoot it here for you. Yeah, here it is. I'm going to send this one to you, Jared, right now. We're going to watch this probably later on here. Bless y'all. And tomorrow's my birthday, 64 tomorrow. When I get older, losing my hair. And yesterday was my anniversary. And man, oh man, Saturday afternoon, the Buckeyes play. Busy weekend. Got a lot of stuff on my heart today. In fact, this is one of those days that when I came down here to do the show this morning, I said, Lord, I think I got a good one today. I think I got a good one. But the Lord tends to have a way of changing the show. So, I hope that it lines up with what it is he wants to do. One of the things was prompted by a video that Sarge sent me yesterday. I'm going to play it for you here in a second. It's only about 5 minutes. And I was saying to these guys before we went on the air, one of my concerns and where we're going, I'm going to stop right now. If you've learned something on this show since you've been watching, just give me a thumbs up. Isn't that something? Me too. I just can't believe it. And I want those of you out there who are listening to know this, that I read every email and I try to answer every email. And sometimes it gets to be, you know, I try to do the best I can with them. And I just don't think sometimes emails are the best place to get into a theological discussion. Okay. Sometimes I'm short in my responses because, you know, like for instance, I heard from a couple people that didn't like the video the other day of the lady praying in tongues. They were offended by that. And so I don't want to get into a theological discussion because those type of things, all they do, I think, is divide us. They divide us. I believe my own belief. I believe there's a place for speaking in tongues. Sorry. I just happen to believe that. And I'm not going to get in a theological discussion about you. If you think it's of the devil, okay. I mean, search it out. I don't think it's of the devil. I think it's one of our spiritual gifts, and I don't have a problem with it. There's certainly ways it's supposed to be used properly and improperly. And I'm just like everybody else, the charismaniacs that I run into that are just, you know, my goodness. See a demon behind every tree and see a blessing behind every curtain. I'm with you on that. I'm with you. But I think the proper use of a spiritual language, sorry, but I'm there with it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you about it. It's like, what's that old song? I said again, I didn't think it could be till it happened to me, you know? And I don't know how you ignore experiences. They say, well, Coach, I hear people say, Coach, does the Lord really speak to you? Bible said that he isn't going to speak anymore. Well, yeah. Something speaks to me. Something does. I think it's the Holy Spirit. By the way, they're the same, aren't they? Aren't they one? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, aren't they all one? So when I say that the Lord spoke to me, I said, I'm hearing the Spirit. I hear what the Spirit says. Spirit has a voice. We know that, don't we? We know that. In the spiritual realm, you know, the Bible says this. God, there's so much we don't know. You know, the Bible says that our words reverberate throughout eternity, that we're going to give an account for every idle word we ever spoke. Are you kidding me? So it says, we're going to give an account for every idle word that we ever spoke. That life and death is in the power of the tongue. That there's something about words. Now, see, we could get drugged down a rabbit hole of one, two there. Because every doctrine that you'll find in the Bible, every doctrine can be abused, misused, and misapplied. Every one of them. And the whole idea is truth and balanced. To know the truth and to have it balanced. Be balanced with it. Larry's not with us, but I know he's listening. Larry gave me a phone call after the show yesterday and said something that I thought was pretty profound and something that I was sliding into, didn't mean to. He said, you know, Coach, the blood of Jesus doesn't apply to everything. And boy, I pulled back and said, yeah, that's right. That's right. It doesn't apply to everything. And we can misuse the idea of the blood of Jesus. And you can misuse the idea of speaking in tongues. You can misuse fasting. You can misuse just about everything. And so what I want to try to do, my goal has been that I'm going to try to guide us into all truth. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. You don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from the Lord. You need the Lord to be able to direct you. So one of the things that I was cautioned by, two things, I didn't want to drag you down. Excuse me. I don't know if Chad's listening out there. Chad made a point that some of you may appreciate. He says, Coach, when we went to the abortion clinic last week, Coach, so I want you to know something. Some of us had never been there. I'm paraphrasing the gospel according to Chad. He says, I want you to know that most of us had never been there, and we went there. We didn't really have any idea what to expect. He says, I think we'd have probably been a little bit better prepared, Coach, if you told us beforehand what to expect. I thought, man, there's some validity there. There really is. When you think about anything else, as a football game or a salesman or whatever your job might be, they give you a little bit of training so that you know what to expect. You don't just get hit in the face. Or the worst thing is you're afraid to go because you don't know what to expect. And you don't know how you're going to respond and how you're going to react and what's going to happen. And are you going to get thrown in jail? And is some lady with a camera going to come up and stick it in your face? So I want to pull back a little bit. Not pull back. That's not the right word. I want to go back and lay a little bit of a foundation here this morning. You okay? I'm sure you're okay with it. And again, I love it when you guys add to or take away, because I'm not always right. I'm on this same journey that you guys are. But as I said, I can have a Bible, I can read, and I can think, and I can hear the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that would be the same for all of you. Anybody got anything before we get rolling here? Okay, cool. Hey, Jared, let's do this real quick. It's just real quick, about 5-minute video on this. Here's my fear. It's so easy for us to begin, when we first begin to see about this demonic realm and everything that's going on, it's so easy for us to become intimidated, scared, give more power to the spiritual realm than what it does, and lose sight of our ability in the heavenly realm. See, the Lord said when he went away, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto him. So we will never face a power that we don't have the ability to overcome. Never will. If we're walking in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is same Spirit raised Christ from the dead, dwells inside of you. So I was just saying to Rich before we went on the air, one of the things I'm trying to expose to you is we're in this, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. This whole idea of this, this battle that we're having in the spiritual realm is this. Here's the battle. That we're not become intimidated. And that we do not take a BB gun when we need a 12 gauge. That's what I'm trying to help you see. Not to scare you. But Rich, I'd never go send you out bear hunting with a BB gun. Why would we ever send you out demon slaying when all you got's prayer? That's everything you have. Wouldn't do that to you. So I'm trying to expose a larger, a broader network of what's going on so that we can decide, John, whether we need a BB gun or a 12 gauge or an AR, right? Because it is a war. And that spiritual war is playing out in the natural realm. Okay. That's what it's about. So Sarge sent me this movie. It's not 6 minutes. It says 6:41. It's really not quite that long. And I think it's some great wisdom. Here's what I want you to do. Don't be intimidated by what we're seeing, and don't be deceived by what we're seeing, and don't look for a demon behind every bush. Okay. Real quickly. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
TMR, this is a message to everyone out there investigating Pizzagate, posting about Pizzagate and posting videos about it. Do not make public threats against anyone allegedly involved in this thing. Do not go down that road. Just be careful on how you express your frustration on this, how you word things. This is a sensitive subject and situation, no doubt. I know everyone's emotions are running high when looking into this, but please try to keep your emotions in check. Because if you don't, you are only jeopardizing your own safety and freedom. You are also putting site owners, video makers at risk as well. Our videos could be taken down or much worse. We need to be extra careful during this time. With that said, I'd like to take this opportunity to address something regarding this situation that I think most people looking into this are overlooking and not thinking about. Again, mostly due to the emotional charge we experience when facing a reality, a dark truth, such as what we are facing here. I believe we all need to consider that there's a strong possibility that this is all part of a larger plan or setup. We need to keep our guard up. We need to take a moment and take a step back. I don't trust WikiLeaks. Yes, I know about their 100% accuracy over the course of many years releasing emails. That's not the concern here. What is the concern is WikiLeaks may have their own agenda. I believe they're fully controlled. It may be in place for a reason, the same way Alex Jones is in place for a reason. I think we should keep that in mind as we move forward with this. I want to read a post by Michael Butler, who shares my sentiments on this matter. Quote, I think we're being played as usual. WikiLeaks/FBI would never release real damaging information. I'm guessing this is a narrative they are building to throw some characters under the bus later, so you'll accept the new boss, same as the old one, aka a kinder, gentler New World Order. They love pushing buttons with these quote-unquote leaks. So I think we should be asking ourselves, could this be the reason why this is all being revealed? Spirit cooking, satanic occult rituals, pedophile sex slave network, all being revealed. When all these years, this was all kooky conspiracy nutjob talk, right? Hillary Clinton and her lot exposed as satanic, psychopathic, murderous people. Everything that is being revealed is what so-called conspiracy theorists have been talking about and exposing for many, many years now. So now, who's crazy? Who are the crazy ones? Now, what people who are finally waking up to this dark truth need to understand about all of this isn't some isolated pockets of networks involving only a few politicians. Clintons, Bushes, Podestas, these are pieces of crumbs. This pizza network is one ant farm in a sea of ant farms. We destroy this one, guess what? There are thousands and thousands more. This sick underground network goes to the very top of the very top. What people need to realize is the entire power structure of this whole system we live under is running this global network, this underground satanic world of raping, torturing, and murdering children. Make no mistake, our so-called public servants, our so-called leaders, the ones running the show, the ones running this whole system we live in, the ones running our lives, are overseeing and running this sick global network. When looking into this, you'll notice a common theme. Most, if not all of these people are all into Satanism or are Satanists, displaying all the one-eye symbolism you can handle. That's because the system we live in, again, is satanic. It's called the Beast System for a reason. The elites running the show believe in and worship Satan and are constructing a reality and system reflecting that. Pure and simple. That's undeniable. If you've even done the most basic of research, you will understand this. It doesn't matter if you believe in Satan or not. The people behind this, they do. That's the bottom line. That's what's being revealed here. So us crazy quote-unquote religious nut jobs, us crazy conspiracy theorists, we're right. There's no denying this now. And you are only fooling yourself if you do. The unveiling of this network is further proof we were right. This is why the Bible says Satan is the god of this world, that Satan runs this world, this realm. And after coming face to face with this sick reality, how can you not agree with that? How can you not see that? I sure as hell do. It makes perfect sense to me. The powers that be, the system, has brainwashed people into believing that people who believe the spiritual realm is real, that God is real, that spiritual influence is real, are all quote-unquote religious nuts. But that's a psyop and deception. This is spiritual truth. It has nothing to do with religion. Religion, as it's constructed today, has poisoned the well, perverted the real spiritual truth. That's its designed purpose. That's why people are lost and confused. But make no mistake, all of these pedophile Satanists behind this network and who are involved with this network are all under the influence of spiritual wickedness. And that is how they are able to carry out these unimaginable acts against these children. All okay, is being good, revealed, and that's what.
That's good, Joe. So here's the point he wants to make, and I think it's made very well. All this video has done, from all this WikiLeaks and this Podesta and the spirit cooking and all that stuff has done. Hey, Jared, if you can back that up to that, there's a little yellow sign about demon possession. I want you to freeze that on the screen for us, if you can. One more, right there it was. Put that up on the screen. All this is done for me, guys. All this WikiLeaks has done is just confirm what I already knew. Instead of us getting so focused on Hillary and Podesta and those, that nest, just understand that these nests are everywhere. This kind of stuff's going on everywhere. Because why? We're in a spiritual war. And because the times are intensifying, the Lord told us that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. So we're beginning to see things. And the point that he was making is that part of all this is might be to be able to expose some things, to throw some people under the bus. So they say, oh, well, they got the Clintons. Oh, they got Podesta. Okay, everything's cool now. They got those guys. And it's not that. It's a far deeper network. So I don't want us to be focusing on what the Clintons are doing and all those people. I want us to be aware that there's a spiritual war raging around us. You following what I'm saying there, guys? Okay, it's quick. Because they could kill off all these people. Nothing's going to change. And remember, if there is a devil, these demonic devil worshipers, if they believe it, then they got to know there's a God. This works both ways. Just look at this, and he threw this up here. Read this for a minute. The benefits of demon possession. Did you know frequent and even occasional demonic possession leaves your body feeling refreshed and relaxed? The magic comes from an infernal dose of endorphins. No drug works better. A demon may put your flesh through all manner of agony, but it will leave you meat and tender and your muscles lax. That's our guarantee. It's like a Thai massage, better than a bubble bath. Demons make my insides tickle. So there you go. There you go. See, the devil never comes as the devil. He never does. He comes as an angel of light. We know that, right? So anybody who falls into a trap of demonic activity, they've been deceived into it. He didn't do it on purpose. And as I said before we went on the air, the greatest deception is this. Not the greatest, but one of the deceptions is those who get trapped in this stuff never thought they would. When a guy first smokes a cigarette, he never thinks he's going to get the habit. When a guy first smokes pot, he doesn't think he's going to end up on crack. When a guy looks at porn, he doesn't see himself being an adulterer on his wife later on. When a guy goes and robs a bank, he doesn't think he's going to get caught. So we're tempted when these things come into our mind. These things we're tempted, and then that leads to action. Cool. So it would the candy would have to be attractive, or we wouldn't want it. You remember okay, let's do it. Let's go to Genesis real quick. Genesis 3, I think it is. Sorry. Oh, I got a lot to share with you today. A lot to share with you. I love hearing from all of you out there, too. Genesis 3, Jared. Look at this. This is always the way the devil operates. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Subtle. Subtle. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Question the word. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, don't eat that thing. So she knew the word and she knew the instructions. And the serpent said unto the woman, you're not going to die. For God knows that the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be as gods, knowing good from evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye. There you are. See, the devil didn't come as deception. He came offering something. And what did he come offering? Man, look at that apple. Look how good that thing is. So all sin, when we're enticed into sin, we're enticed into sin because it looks good. Okay? Cool. Excuse me. So let's talk about that spirit realm a little bit today. Let's talk about it. Okay, let's do that. Stay in Genesis. Go to Genesis 1. Jared. I wasn't ready for this to pop up here, but I think, again, I want to try to lay a foundation. Talks about God created all the things, right? Verse 6. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. How about that? See, there was a time, we know that from study, that there was a canopy of water over the top of us. That when it rained, it never rained before. Isn't that something? And God said, let the waters under the heaven, verse 9, be gathered together. And God called the day, called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters, called the seas. And God said it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. And it was good. And it was so. 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yieldings. Blah, blah. And then 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. He said, that's going to be the time clock. And let them be. And God made two great lights, a great light to rule day and one to rule night. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light and to rule over day and night. Verse 14, in the evening and the morning, fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, blah, blah, blah. Keep on going down, Jared. I hate when I do this, get ahead of myself. And I didn't really scout it out. I'm trying to show you where the heavens are going to be divided. And it's not going to be good. Keep going, Jared. 33. I'm sorry, guys. This wasn't where I was going to go. I'll come back to it. I hate to do that to you. Anyway, there's a heavenly realm around us. There's a difference between heaven and the heavens. Do you understand that? Difference between heaven and the heavens. And the heavens are, it's another dimension, for lack of a better word. It's a dimension around us. We are three dimensional, right? Up, down, right, left, front, and back. That's all we can see. That's all our eyes. When the Lord created us, that's what he created us to be able to see. But there's another dimension. And I use this illustration of us being in a fish tank. We can't see outside the fish tank. There is around us another dimension, a spiritual dimension. Guys, come on. Make yourself think here now. If you believe in angels, where are they? If you believe you have a guardian angel, where is he? Well, he's here. We can't see him. And if you believe in angels, you got to believe in demons, because the same God that made the angels made the demons. Or that's not true. The demons, it's not true. Sorry, the fallen angels, the angels that rebelled and fell with God, where are they? Where'd they fall from? And where are they? Well, they're in a realm around us that we can't see. Jared's put up something up here for me to read. Jared, I appreciate your work, but I may not get it because I don't want to get bogged down on where I'm trying to go. I'll try to clear that up for us tomorrow. Hey, Roger, you're sideways. I don't know if you know this. Everybody's telling you over here on the side, you're not looking at it. something. So there is this spiritual realm, and the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Gets evil spirits in high places. Okay, so where are those high places? Well, those high places are in a spiritual realm around us that we can't see, that exists, but we can't see. And we know that outside this time-space continuum, which Genesis 1, Jared had that up, but just put Genesis 1 up there, Jared, because I want people to see this and understand this concept. Just Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void without form, darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon it. And watch this. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. and he divided light from darkness. And so he created time, space, and matter right there in Genesis 1 and 2. Time, space, and matter. In the beginnings, time. He created the heaven and the earth, this space, matter. And the earth is void without form. It's all right there in Genesis 1. We just don't understand the depth of it, of the whole creation story. Okay, so what's going on in the spirit realm? What's going on? Well, for whatever reason, those of us in the spiritual world, I'm sorry, in this natural world, we're not very, very, very ignorant of the world around us. Where, by the way, demons and fallen angels and holy angels are in war, are there in combat. You say, Coach, that can't be. You don't believe that, do you, Coach? You don't believe that fairy tale? Well, I do. I do. Jared, pull up here. Demons, the first one, Jared. What are demons? Go do that one. What are demons, Jared? What are demons? You guys believe in demons? Do we believe in fallen? Do we believe in? This is from Karm, and I've given you Karm before because I think this guy's really good. So what does the Bible say about demons? I want to talk with you today about two different things. I want to talk to you about demonic possession and demonic oppression. And they are not the same. When you hear of possession, what does that term mean? To possess something means you own it. So there's demonic possession, where people are possessed, owned by demonic spirits. And there is demonic oppression. Oppression means they're simply bugging you, weighting you down. And those are not the same. Most of us are dealing with demonic oppression. Oppression. You're oppressed of the devil. What does that mean? We'll get into it. So Matt Slick here at Karm says, demons are fallen angels. Now, we know what happened, right? Revelation 12:9 tells us the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, and he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. There are the fallen angels. There they are, the demon spirits. They're hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So Satan's fall from heaven is symbolically described in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And when he fell, Satan took some of his angels with him. One third of them, the Bible tells us, according to Revelation 12 and Jude 6, and also mentions angels who sinned. So biblically, demons are falling angels along with Satan who chose to rebel against God. Where are they? Well, they're in this spiritual realm. They're around us. That's where they are. By the way, that's who we're wrestling with. That's who we're wrestling with in the spiritual realm. Now watch this. Some of the demons are already locked in darkness, bound with everlasting chains. That comes from Jude 1 verse 6, by the way, which brings us to the book of Enoch, which I'm not going to talk about today, but is very important for us to understand. The book of Enoch, we talked about this a few months ago. Some of you have never heard of it because it's not part of what we consider the canon. But Enoch is a historical account of the times. We know who Enoch was. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God and then was no more. So Enoch was an eyewitness. Now, when the book of Enoch, they're not really sure if he wrote it all or whether people added some stuff to it, but we know this. It's at least somewhat of a historical chronology of what was going on. But they didn't put it in the Bible because they said that they couldn't verify it. Anything to add to that, Sarge? Am I doing okay so far? Okay. So, I lost myself. Some of the demons are already locked in darkness, bound with everlasting chains. That's Jude 1:6 for their sins. Others are free to roam and are referred to as the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Ephesians 6, Colossians 2. The demons still follow Satan as their leader and do battle with the holy angels in an attempt to thwart God's plan and hinder God's people. Are you seeing the picture? There is a battle going on in this heavenly realm that we can't see. We can't see it. Demons, as spirit beings, have the ability to take possession of a physical body. That's called demonic possession. I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Demonic possession occurs when a person's body is completely controlled by a demon. Listen, this cannot happen to a child of God. Since the Holy Spirit's already in the heart of the believer, a believer cannot be demonically possessed. But can a believer be demonically oppressed? Of course. It happens to us all the time. The oppression. And see, what the oppression tries to do is try to open up those avenues for actual possession to take place. So Jesus, during his earthly ministry, encountered many demons. Hey, guys, it was the same world, wasn't it? He's walking around Nazareth and walking around Jerusalem. He's running into demons. Are you kidding me? He's running into them. And by the way, the people in the Old Testament must not have been surprised by it, because they started doing it too. In fact, we know in the one part where some of the guys got mad, said, hey, these guys over here, they're casting out demons too, and they're not part of us. Remember that? So this is common to these guys. It's just uncommon to us, because we've been told it's not true. Science has proven it's not true. Of course, none of them were a match for the power of Christ. Demons are, guys, we have victory over John Podesta and Hillary and all those demons and all those blood suckers. We got power over all of them. That's what we've got to understand. Excuse me. None of them were a match for the power of Christ. Many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove the spirits out of them with the word. Jesus' authority over the demons was one of the proofs that he was indeed the Son of God. The demons who encountered Jesus knew who he was, and they feared him. What do you want with us, Son of God, they said when he threw them out into the pigs. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? The demons know their end, and they know it will be one of torment. Why? Because they are in the spiritual realm and they see what's going on. Satan and his demons now look to destroy the work of God and deceive anyone they can. Deception. There's some biblical references. The demons are described as evil spirits, unclean spirits, lying spirits, and angels of Satan. There's all the spiritual scriptural references are there. Satan and his demons deceive the world, promulgate false doctrine, attack Christians, and combat the holy angels. The demon fallen angels are enemies of God, but they are defeated enemies. Do you hear that? They're defeated enemies. Christ has disarmed the powers and authorities, and he has made a public spectacle, triumphing over them openly, the Bible says, by the cross. As we submit to God and resist the devil, we have nothing to fear. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Cool. All right, questions, comments, anything. All right, I'm waiting, nobody.
I would add just that I think the offspring too, the Nephilim, can probably be counted in the demonic realm too.
Sarge, I'm on page 2 and you're on page 12.
Okay.
Hey, Coach, yes. Coach, one of the problems in the church is that we're not taught who we are in Christ.
We are
not taught how strong we are in Christ, what our weapons are, like you've been trying to point out. We're not taught that. See, the thing is that you used the word the other day, disciple. You know what a disciple it really is? He's a student. What was Jesus? He was called a rabbi. What is a rabbi? He's a teacher. Isn't that what Mary said, Rabbi? She was talking about the teacher. What did Jesus come? He came to teach us how to be good students to follow the law of God.
Amen. And our people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Hey, Mike, you got some blood on your forehead. I don't know whether the devil's coming. You guys seeing that, or is it just me? You're all right? Are you with me? Okay, so let's shift again here then, and let's. Hey, Jared.
Dave.
Yes,
Dave.
Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, just quickly.
By the way, Roger, stop. When's the last time you heard any of this in your church?
Well, that's what I'm going to bring up quickly. You know, demons walked and were around Christ when he was here. The Bible clearly illustrates it. They were here before his ministry started, but we're not taught at all that they're still here causing havoc.
No. I mean,
we're not we're not taught in this in, on Sunday mornings at all that the let's look at the demons that Jesus dealt with now.
Common folks,
these demons are with us now. They are present now. You're not taught that at all. I just sometimes I'm floored.
Well, you're here today and you're learning it today, Roger.
Yes.
Hey, Jared, let's throw the one up there that says, I'm sorry, I already pulled it up here. Throw the one up there that says, what are demons? Got questions. This is really good, guys, because we interchange terms that aren't changed. There's a difference between fallen angels and disembodied spirits. I'm going to show you that right here. A fallen angel can be, a fallen angel is a fallen angel. But this is a really great learning tool right here. Jared, it says, got questions, I think is what it says on Bud. Oh, is that it? No, that's not the one I want. Yes.
Larry just called me and said, one of the things that we don't understand about the demons is that they are deceiving themselves. He said, they deceive themselves because they think that they are going to win and beat us. And that's not the truth, but that's the deception. And so when people are looking for power, they're deceived to think that the devil will give them the power to overcome anything that stands in their way.
They are empowered, though. They are empowered by the dark side. They are, right?
Right, but it's the deception. Of what we're always being deceived. When you get that temptation, it's a deception placed before you to walk down a path that is either a rabbit hole or it's going to get you on the way to the glory of God.
Amen. Hey, Jared. Well, okay, let's stay there. Let's stay with Matt Slick, demons. Let's stay there with Karm. That's good. Okay, guys, again, this is Matt Slick at Karm. Demons are evil spirits that are opposed to God and God's people. They appear to be fallen angels. And spiritual references, these are found in 2 Peter and in Jude. Matthew 24 talks about them. Matthew 28 does. Mark 32. Let's go down to the bottom. Demons are spiritual beings without physical form. They are evil spirits that are opposed to God and his work. They were probably created before the world was, and like Satan, fell away from God. Some people believe Revelation 12:4 is a reference to a third of the angels falling and becoming demons. We got that? Those are the fallen angels. But the term demon comes from the Greek daimon. Demons are found in the New Testament as being able to possess people and animals. They're strong. They're also called unclean spirits. They seem to have a hierarchy of rulership in their demonic realm and can have sacrifice offered unto them. These are all scriptural references. They're all there. And they will be judged in the future. They cannot be redeemed. Why can't they be redeemed? Anybody know? Because they were created eternal, for one thing. They were created eternal. Eternal means they don't die. So they've fallen, and now they're in a realm, and they're never going to die. They're cast into the lake. So Paul recognized demonic forces and referred to them as principalities and said that we struggle against them. He spoke of them in heavenly places, but this does not mean where God is, but the upper area above the earth, which I tried to show you there. Jesus was able to cast out demons from demon-possessed people, and he was accused of being demon-possessed himself. Again, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, but they can be demon-possessed. Oppressed. Jared, I'm going to pop a quick one on you here. It says, eating face. I saw this. Look at this. Man found eating another man's face, August 17th of this year. Now, I'm not going to take you down through this, but this, I'll try to send this to you so you can read it. They found this 19-year-old boy, University of Florida student, was out doing whatever. He'd been hearing voices, it says in there, in the story. And they've talked to all kinds of psychologists and everything. He comes upon this couple in their garage. They're sitting in the garage drinking wine or whatever, enjoying the night, got the garage door up, and they're just sitting in there. He comes upon them. He ends up killing them. And when the police get there, he is eating the face of the man. Eating the face of the man. And this guy is acting like nobody has ever seen anybody act. Now, do you think the police or anybody anywhere would think that this guy is possessed of the devil, that these are demons? Scroll on down through that a little bit, Jared, because I'm not going to take time to read this because I'm running out of time already. When she got there, she realized the offender was actually biting the victim in the face and causing what turned out to be some substantial trauma to his face with bite marks. In other words, this guy ate this man's face. After he killed him, he ate his face off. The neighbor came by, said, I think he had a knife. And you only read the story. His family's been saying he's been acting crazy and he's been doing this and doing all this kind of stuff. But it's just probably the stress of school. Probably just the stress of school was getting to him. It's quite a story to read. Okay, Jared, you can take that off. A lot of our mental illness is demon possession or oppression. A lot of it. A lot of it is, okay? But here's the part that they don't like to get to. Let's see which one that would be. Boy, Jared, I've given you so much. I should give myself better notes. Go to All About Demons. Click on that one. Okay, guys, listen. There's a difference, I believe. Okay, here. This is good. Just found this one. Demons and evil spirits. It's a study on it. How many movies have you seen lately where demons were the main character? It's all the time, right? Sybil, all those kind of stuff. And that video we showed yesterday of the guy who's going out, come to MK Ultra and multi-personalities. That's what Dizdar is going to speak about on Tuesday, by the way. So this guy just made some points here. Number one, demons and evil spirits are destroyers by nature. That's what they are. Hey, guys, listen. A demon is not the same as an evil spirit. An evil spirit, I believe, Bible would prove out that evil spirits are the fallen angels. But we know from reading Genesis 6 that there was 200 of the angels who came down, left the first estate and came down, had sex with women and created a race of people, the giants, called the Nephilim. Remember this. Angels don't die. Their offsprings don't die. So are these, some of these demons, what we would call an Enoch, disembodied spirits? In other words, their physical body died, but their spirit, their soul doesn't die. So here's about demons and what's going on in America and in your life. Demons and evil spirits have only one purpose, and that's to torment. Some people brought to Jesus a man who could not talk because he had a demon. Then some people brought Jesus a man who was blind and could not talk because he had a demon. My daughter has a demon, as in a terrible condition. A spirit attacks him with a sudden shout and throws him into the fire so that he foams at the mouth. It keeps on hurting him and will hardly let him go. And as the boy was coming, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a fit. That's Luke 9:39. Next one. The main weapons of demons and evil spirits are weapons of deception. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. So those who follow him are liars. It says from the very beginning, he was a murderer. There's never been on the side of truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he's only doing what is natural to him because he's a liar and a father of them, John 8:4. The attributes of demons and evil spirits are these. Demons and evil spirits are the same thing, this guy says. When evening came, people brought to Jesus many who had demons in them. Jesus drove out the evil spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Demons and evil spirits can speak. So the spirits begged Jesus, saying, send us into the pigs and let us go into them. It's important. Demons and evil spirits can speak. Now, this guy says they're the same. I don't think they're the same. Demons and evil spirits can believe. Do you believe that there's only one God? Good. The demons also believe and tremble with fear. Demons and evil spirits can't exercise their will. When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over dry country looking for a place to rest, disembodied spirit. If you can't find one, it says, I'll go back to my house. So demons move in the spiritual realm, looking for some place to go, because a demon cannot operate without a body. Demons and evil spirits demonstrate intelligence. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? The demon said, are you here to destroy us? I know who you are. You're God's holy messenger, the demon said to Jesus in Mark. Demons and evil spirits display emotions. When he saw Jesus, he cried with a loud cry, threw himself down at his feet and shouted, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, why do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me. It's a demon. Demons and evil spirits can recognize people. But the evil spirit said to them, I know Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? Demons and evil spirits have supernatural strength. Let's keep on going. I don't want to spend all day on this one. Demons and evil spirits are eternal. See, that's the problem. See, that's why we call them disembodied spirits. You and I die. When we die, we die. We have a place that we go. And we'll talk about that in a second as well. Demons don't die. They're disembodied spirits. So they can't die. And when they, Dave,
I think it'd be interesting from the huddle, how many men have had actual occurrences with demons. I've had one in my life, and if you know me well enough, I'm pretty stable. I'm a member of the Tea Party. I have lots of guns, but I'm not crazy. But I had an experience, I'll share it later, where I came in the physical presence of a demon in a person, and it was as clear as day. It was years ago. I'd be curious sometime of their men in the huddle experiences they may have had.
Well, I wish Pastor Tim would on here. It would be on with us this morning, because he sure has them. I'm going to tell you this. The Bible tells us this, Roger, that we have entertained angels unaware. You guys know that, right?
Yep.
Scripture says that.
Well, if we've entertained. Okay. That sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah. That's all good.
Yeah. So, but if we entertain demons unaware, you betcha.
Yeah.
In fact, not only that, we're familiar with them. We're okay with them. See?
Well, to the listeners, I'll say this. I'm as normal as the day is long. There's nothing unique or special about me. And I had an experience years ago that was as vivid as anything I had yesterday around the Thanksgiving table. You know, it happened.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. So demons and evil spirits have their own doctrines, right? We talk about teaching doctrines of demons. Okay, I want to pause there. I got something else I want to show you, but comments right now. Anybody? Stuff's real, but guys.
Coach, so how do we defeat them? What do we need to do to get to that next step, to get the armament that we need to recognize them and to defeat them?
Tune in Monday. Because Robert, when I was up there making my doing my lesson plan here today, that was what I started with. How to defeat them. But I said, wait a minute, I don't want to do that till I convince them they're real. If we can convince you guys that they're real, now you're going to be more anxious to figure out what we can do about it. Okay. Yeah. I got some great stuff to give you on. Yes, Michael.
One thing too is when you walk with Christ and know that Christ is in you, you are going to face the demonic force, because just like Jesus did, he walked on the earth and the demons recognized him. The demons recognize us too, as long as we are walking in Christ and living the Christ life and trying to follow in his footsteps. And the demons will, you know, it's like when you go to the clinic, you walk in Christ and are Christ to the world. Those demons recognize who you are. The demons around those people, the demons that are around that whole operation. And so by you just being who you are in Christ, you are already chasing them and stirring them up.
Amen. Hey, can I do this for you real quick? I don't want to leave you hanging, Robert, okay? First of all, here's 10 ways you can resist the devil, okay? Jared, maybe Jared, hang on. I'm going to copy this and send it to you because I want them to be able to read it. And when while Jared is, hang on, fellas, I'm sorry. While Jared gets this up on the screen, I'm going to show you something else that's going to blow you away. Excuse me. Bear with me, boys and girls. Bear with me. Okay, Jared, I just sent this to you. We'll pull that up there. Here's another great deception. The devil's not in hell. I hear guys say sometimes, devil, Satan, you go back to hell where you came from. No, you didn't come back. The devil ain't in hell. You're not in hell. Bible says he wanders to and fro, looking who he made to devour. Where is that? Hey, Jared, I got Jared doing about 10 different things. That's all right. I trust him. He's good at it. He's going to get that. There he are. Is Satan in hell? Don't you think most people think Satan's in hell? Don't you think most of the people at your church think he's in hell? And that you go to hell when you die and he locks you up in a gate and you can't get out? And, oh, boy, you're in the people. Why, he's in hell. Boy, he's really? How about this? Is Satan in hell? At this moment, Satan's not in hell. Rather, Satan roams the earth seeking people to tempt into sin and to thus separate them from God. That's 1 Peter 5:8, which states, be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In John 14:30, Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. And the apostle Paul referred to him as the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, Ephesians 2. Satan does not live in hell. He lives and works on the earth and in the heavens circling it. You got that? You understand that? The devil is not in hell. Satan is the father of lies. And he influences and rules the world right now. Satan desires worship, Matthew 4:9, and he uses deceit and distraction to draw man's focus to himself. The world, worships Satan in one way or another, except for those who are of the kingdom of God and are therefore called out of the devil's deceptions. You're called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You understand that? That if you're not saved, you are in the kingdom of darkness, okay? By the way, John's putting it up over here. The devil is not omnipresent. He isn't everywhere. He is a being. He can only be one place, and he orders his minions to do his work. If a person is not a child of God, they're a child of Satan. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love the brother and the sister. James explains that, right? But it's important to know because soon Jesus will return to earth and collect what belongs to him. He will defeat the followers of Satan and claim the elect for himself. And ultimately, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and tormented day and night forever. And afterwards, Jesus is going to judge the believers unto what they have done during their lives. Anyone whose name is not found in the book of life is thrown into the lake of fire, and Satan and his minions will be there too. Hell and death are also thrown into the lake. So technically speaking, at no time does Satan reside in hell. But he will be confined permanently in a very hot place that could be called hellish location to be tormented eternally. Cool? Satan's not in hell. Got another one for you, Robert. Hey, Jared. Go to that next one. It says no one is in hell. Man, I'm overloading you with information. Oh, man, we'll get there. No one's in hell. No one's in hell. That's not it. It's the next to the last one, Jared. No one is in hell, it says.
That's the one I clicked.
Okay, but let's see what this says. Do we go to heaven when we die? I'm not going to bulk down with it, so I'm going to show you this other thing. I'll bring this up on Monday. Listen, this is a real mystery. If you want to do a study, do a study. The body, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All right? To be absent with the absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says that we sleep. That death is a form of sleep. And remember, when you die and you leave this world, there is no time, right? There is no time. So it's almost, here's what it says. Pull that up there, Jared. Golly, I need an hour and a half today. Death is like sleep. In several locations, the Bible likens death to sleep. Notice the Apostle Paul's comforting instruction to the believers in Thessalonians. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now see, we don't have a concept of the heavenly realm. We don't know. We don't have it. There's no time there. So it's hard for us to understand. Death is similar to sleep in that no conscious thought occurs when one has died. Two statements in the book of Ecclesiastes tell us reality. For the living know they will die, but the dead know nothing. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. It's talking about natural work. You can't do natural work when you go into the grave. Psalm 146 says, his breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Once death occurs, human consciousness ends. Nothing's going on in the mind. I could go on and on. This would be another good one. It'd be another good one. A lot of things that we've been, I don't know what happens at death. I don't know. I know when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. I know that. I don't understand what that means. I don't understand the whole concept of that other realm. But when I die, it's going to be really, really good. It's going to be really good. But I'm not going to go to hell yet. I'm not going to go to heaven yet. I'm with the Lord, wherever the Lord is. Golly, I'm... Okay, Robert, I'm going to give you a real quick one here. Throw that back up there for Robert. Have I lost all of you today? I'm just trying to get you to think. You got to do a little research on your own, you know, trying to get you to think here. And Robert, on Monday, I'm going to do the show on how we fight this. And then Russ Dizdar is going to be with us on Tuesday to further explain it. Jared, I got you bouncing all over the place, man. Go back to that one, 10 ways to resist. 10 ways to resist. Because we can resist the devil. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, that's demonic oppression, not possession. Demonic oppression, that's what you have to resist. When the devil comes to you and tells you, go in that dark room, close the door, and turn on your computer, that's oppression, temptation. You got to flee it. You have to flee from it. So 10 ways to resist. Let's go. I haven't looked at this yet, so let's see here. Scroll down there, Jared, if you can. Jared's doing a great job, man. Be ruled by the word. That's number one. What's the word? Go on down, Jared. Let's go through these pretty quickly here. Beware of grieving the Holy Spirit. Like somebody said, man, if you got the realization that the Holy Spirit was in you, really, really was in you, and that if you went into the darkness of your room, you turned on pornography, that the Holy Spirit's watching that pornography too, and you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Labor for wisdom. Resist the first stirring of temptation. Flee immorality, the Bible says. Labor to be filled with the Spirit. Keep humble. Be constantly on guard. Continue communing with God. Do not engage Satan in your own strength. And pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Man, we're about out of time. Somebody help me bring this home. Threw a lot at you today. George.
You got some sponges out here, though, Coach.
Amen, brother. It's good stuff. It's good stuff, isn't it? Yep. It's good stuff. Go ahead, George. Can't hear you, bud. Still not hearing you, George. George is trying to talk, but we're just not getting it. We got a couple minutes left. Anybody want to say anything for the good of the group? Again, on Monday, I'm going to talk about our weapons. We talked the other day about what our weapons were not. We're going to talk about what our weapons are and how to win that battle, Robert. And even though you probably can't be live with it, you'll be able to watch it on the replay. And then Tuesday, Russ Dizdar is going to join us, and he's going to make it real and practical about what's going on, this demonic realm, this demonic world that we got to quit denying is there. WikiLeaks has simply shown us it's really happening. It really is there. And it's not just happening in Washington, D.C. It's probably happening down the street. It's probably happening. It's probably happening in a lot of different places. So cutting off the head of Hillary Clinton or John Podesta, cutting off the head of that snake is not going to end it. It's going to pop up someplace else. Why? Because demons do not die. Only at the great white throne judgment, lake of fire. They're thrown into the lake of fire. Anybody?
Coach, this is the battle between two kingdoms. kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness or the devil. The problem is that we Christians don't realize that we are here to push back the kingdom of darkness.
To do battle, man.
And to take it and to hold the land. The problem is we got so wrapped up into thinking about getting out of here that we forgot that we were supposed to be taking possession of the land and pushing back the darkness. And that's why missionaries were so beautiful. They pushed back the darkness and brought in the kingdom of light. And we're not doing that anymore. We're too worried about getting out of here.
That's right, Michael. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name, simply that name and the blood and all that kind of stuff. You know what's going to happen? I use this illustration. I'm going to wind it up here. My daughter is very, very pregnant. She's going to have a baby here in a couple weeks. Praise the Lord. And little Mia right now, who's inside of Maggie, is probably just as happy as could be. In there, it's warm, got all of her food, everything she could ever want, probably sucking on her thumb. Couldn't be any happier. And then all of a sudden, bang, something's going to happen. It's going to be a hurricane that's going to occur inside my daughter. And all of a sudden, this little thing is going to be spit out into this world where there's loud noises and bright lights. She's going to start screaming and And it wouldn't be very long before Mia would admit to you that she don't really want to go back inside mommy. She kind of likes it out here. See, I think that's what death's going to be. We are afraid of it. But I think when we pass through to the other side, we're going to say, oh, wow. Wow. That's what I think our reaction is going to be. And so we of all people shouldn't fear death. It's our greatest fear. Ultimately, it's our greatest fear, fear of death. In fact, the Bible says that men who've their whole life through fear of death. So we're going to get victory over that thing. I'm going to try to get you these links. I gave you a lot to chew on today, guys. Listen, I'm not a theologian. I can read. I can read and I can think, and the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. You would have to admit that we just busted down some lies today, didn't we? Didn't we bust down some lies? And it's only the truth that's going to make us free. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. When you see me, I'll be 64 on Monday.